British Sky Broadcasting presents Alfie, scripted by Charlotte Strevens, voiced by Willow Nash on behalf of MCS Agency, a Paramount picture directed by Charles Shire, with Jude Law as Alfie and Omar Epps as Marlon. A sandy-haired man is asleep, his forearm dangles off one side of the bed, the sunlight reflecting off the blonde hairs on his arm. A sepia poster of Chet Baker with the words "Let's Get Lost" is on the wall. His bare foot sticks out from under the duvet. A toy model of Superman sits on the side. He is quite beautiful, sculptured-looking. He stirs, opens his blue eyes and checks the time on his watch lying on the bedside table. Still lying down, he releases the blind from above his head and lets the sunshine pour through the window. His one-room studio flat is light and airy with wooden floors, cream walls and very masculine.
You're lucky, you know. I rarely allow anyone into my flat.
I know. Humble digs. Not exactly what you call a panty peeler. Do you know what I mean?
He woos us with twinkly eyes.
But it suits me just fine. To be honest, I rarely spend a night in my own bed anyway. You see, here's my theory. For most women, if a guy's a good provider, generally a nice chap, six-pack abs really aren't a deal-breaker. On the flip side, however, even though the PC boyfriend sat next to you with his arms slung round your shoulder will deny it, and he will deny it, for us boys, it's all about FBB.
He grabs a handful of vitamins and swigs them back with some water.
Face, boobs, bum. I'm just being honest. It's been said that clothes speak the international language, and I have to admit, I'm a bit of a fashion whore. Unfortunately, today, I've got work, and I've toned it down a little bit, but that's all right. Gucci, in the summer sale. Very understated, and I can easily spice it up with... What? No, I know what you're thinking. You ooze masculinity like some of us do. You have no reason to fear pink. Smashing.
He admires his outfit.
Now, in the cologne department, most men overdo it. Americans practically spray it on with a crop duster. My rule, nothing above the neck. Now, I do like a little splash on Big Ben. You never know where the day may take you. Almost forgot.
He rips a page off the calendar.
New word for the day. Ostentatious. The attempt to attract attention to oneself. Who? Me?
And leaves his flat.
Oh, blimey, I'm so rude. I haven't introduced myself. I'm...
Alfie!
There you go, Alfie.
Are you the little elf that left these mocha bonbons on my doorstep?
No. You must have a secret admirer, Mrs. Schnittman.
You are such a doll, Alfie. But I'm supposed to be on a diet.
Oh, on a diet?
A diet?
You?
Yeah.
No, I don't mean to be forward, Lou, but... You should know by now that a full-figured girl like yourself is every guy's secret fantasy. So she's a tub of lard. The ship's already sailed, so why not make her feel good about herself? Right? Oh, Lou?
Yes, Angel?
I'm working the night spot at the moment, and my apartment is a horror show, so I'm sorry if I keep you up with the dust busting at 2 a.m.
Oh, don't you worry. I'll give it a quick straighten.
Oh, no. You don't need to do that.
Nonsense. I like doing things for you, Alfie.
I'm a blessed man, having you in my life.
Thank you.
Keys are in the usual spot.
Lou smiles girlishly. In the morning sunlight, Alfie drives down the street on his 50s Vespa.
Now, back home, you're always hearing tales about some bloke migrating to the States and winding up with buckets of money. So not long ago, I packed up my bucket and headed west. Now, I must admit, I had a second motive. I'd always been told that the most beautiful women in the world resided in Manhattan. And when it comes to shagging birds, it's all about one thing. Location, location, location. God, I love this city.
All right, girls.
And just look around. I mean, every one of them. Unique, special, like snowflakes.
A woman in a yashmak winks at him.
And with such a plethora, calendar word meaning abundance of gorgeousness and diversity.
Well, how could a man ever choose to settle down with just one?
I myself subscribe more to the European philosophy of life. My priorities leaning towards wine, women. Well, actually, that's about it. Wine and women.
Although, women and women is always a fun option.
Sitting outside in a cafe smoking, he ogles all the women.
So, to live life to the fullest, I require only enough to cover my modest expenses. I've no desire to be the richest stiff in the cemetery.
That evening in the cemetery, Alfie and a luscious-clothed blonde are having sex in a limo, woman on top.
I think this just might be my favourite position. I know it was President Kennedy's. He was such a great leader. Of course, JFK used the old bad back excuse, but if you ask me, he knew gave you maximum pleasure with minimum exertion.
What is it about the back of a limo?
Obligatory cuddling. 1001, 1002. Hey, I've got to get cracking. I've got a 10 o'clock pickup.
Better hurry up. You don't want to keep waiting.
The woman hits her head on the roof of the car as she rearranges her dress.
Quite the number, isn't she?
Yeah.
She tells me her old man hasn't shagged her in 6 months. 6 months. I mean, thank God there are gentlemen like me around to pick up the slack. Just look at her. Legs like a racehorse. Perfect yoga bum. I give her my highest grade. A minus.
Pulling on his chauffeur's cap and grinning cheekily, Alfie drives around. Sitting in the back of the limo, the woman changes the stations on the radio with a well-manicured red nail.
Where did we tell the old man we were going tonight?
Movie.
Treasure, please. No, no, no. Stop messing about. You'll ruin my presets.
Sorry.
What movie?
I don't know. What's the difference?
The difference is, the more detail you give, the less interested he'll be.
It wouldn't matter what I said. It would never occur to Phil that another man would ever look twice at me.
Dawn, darling, you're fishing for a compliment.
No.
You should know by now they only come from me when least expected. Now, come and have a mint so Phil doesn't smell the Alfie on your breath.
I don't care if he does.
Dory takes them.
There's one thing that puts me off marriage. It's married women. Dory doesn't know it yet, but you won't be seeing much more of her. I've got that all too familiar feeling. Sooner or later, she'll be wanting a little bit more than I'm able to give.
She nibbles his ear.
Wouldn't it be great if I was going home with you tonight instead of Phil the pill?
Yeah. It's definitely time to stage a disappearing act.
On the pier, Alfie kisses her.
So next Tuesday? Same time, same place.
Oh, I'm sorry, love. It's fashion week. I'm booked double shifts. I'll call you the instant things let up.
Okay. In the meantime, I left you a little souvenir to remember me by.
She secretly put her knickers in his pocket.
Oh, door. Your derriere looks really rather ravishing from this vantage point. See? A compliment. When least expected.
Dory runs towards the boarding passengers.
What can I say? Happy as a pup with two tails.
She greets Phil with a kiss.
And I think I've done old Phil a bit of a favour too. Of course, he'd be the last to see it.
And gives Alfie a little wave.
Never expect any thanks in this life. You know what I mean? So, Tuesday. 10:03 p.m. Do I drag myself home to a cold flat, empty fridge, or nip across town to a hot bath, warm body, breakfast in bed? Decisions, decisions.
Smiling to himself, he drives across town smoking. An attractive brunette holding a wooden spoon looks out of her apartment window.
Yeah, I think I'll pay a visit to my semi-regular, quasi sort of girlfriend. My sweet Julie.
Cheerfully, he runs up the steps of a brownstone.
Da-na.
Let me guess. Unexpected last-minute fare.
Yeah, she had me going up and down for hours.
That's supposed to be funny? Because it is so very...
He stops her with a kiss.
Not.
And hoiks her up over his shoulder.
I'm not kidding, Albie! Not kidding, I hate you sometimes.
You have a very ostentatious way of showing.
Yeah, I sure do.
Plonking her down on the sofa, she goes for his belt.
No, darling. Can we hit pause? I just need a second to unwind. Oh, I nicked half a bottle of Stoli from the limo. How do you want yours? On the rocks?
This is my usual outfit. Straight up.
No, I'm so totally knackered. I'll make it up to you in the morning. Cross my heart. But tonight, all I'm good for is a bite to eat, hot bath, and a nice long sleep.
He bites into an apple and turns up the music whilst getting some ice for his drink. Watching him, Julie can't believe it. He finds Dory's red panties in his pocket and hurriedly pushes them back down.
Yeah, this isn't a Holiday Inn, Alfie.
What, say again?
Where were you tonight? Really?
You've got to open a restaurant. That's seriously delicious.
Thanks, Alfie. It's just chilly. Hey. A little eye contact, please. We have something here. Or I just a glorified booty call.
Hey.
He caresses and kisses her cheek and then gently holds her to his chest.
Here's what she's really saying. She wants me to commit. Translation, become domestified. Now, it doesn't do to become dependent on anybody in this life.
He kisses the tip of her nose and ear.
Change your nature? You're a dead man.
Caresses and kisses her again.
Julie, please.
She visibly melts.
And don't get me wrong. She's adorable. Cute, Absolutely. But is that ever enough?
He puts the red panties in the bin.
I told you how we men are. We want showstoppers. And the problem is, Julie hasn't got enough of the superficial things that really matter.
She hands him a bowl of chili and a comic.
I don't deserve you.
Yeah, that's probably true. Too bad I love you.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Alfie.
What?
Alfie. You're giving me the thanks, babe. You're giving me the thanks, baby.
Calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down.
Wait.
I know how you feel.
Yeah, wait a minute. You're going to wake up.
Max.
Hey, little man. Let me wake you up.
Alfie scoops the adorable little boy up into his arms.
Now, lads, learn from my mistake. Never get involved with a single mum. See, they come with accessories, some of which can be, unfortunately, irresistible.
Early next morning, a solitary car disturbs the pigeons in the road. Alfie rides through the city and passes a prostitute plying her trade.
Sights like that make you realise we all have an expiration date. And women do have a shorter shelf life than men, don't they? I think that's what Julie was banging on about yesterday.
He parks outside a garage.
Elegant limousine and chauffeur. This is where I make my reasonably honest living. Standards of elegance has taken quite a pounding, wouldn't you say? I know. Believe me, it's merely a stepping stone. Currently parked on one of those stepping stones is my best mate and future business partner, Marlon.
Marlon gloomily removes the lid of his coffee cup.
Black, like Lynette's skin, which I will never again touch.
I'm afraid you're not meeting my man on top form. See, Marlon's got a problem.
Marlon is a very athletic-looking 20-something. His girlfriend has a winning smile and a sexy bum. She serves some drinks to a table of punters in a bar.
It's called Lynette. And very recently, it dumped him.
Oh,
dear. Come on, what was it this time?
3 a.m. begging.
Uh-huh.
At her front door.
Level of inebriation?
Vomiting?
Right, so let me get this straight. You were at her front door, 3 a.m. in the morning, begging and vomiting. And what? She wasn't charmed by that.
Alfie? Why is there no stolen car number 2?
I've no idea.
Oi, I gotta watch this guy like a hawk.
That little chap's name is Wing, my boss. And owner of this tragic enterprise.
Wipe down car good.
Owner, that is, till me and Marlon swing alone and buy it out from underneath his scrawny...
Hello, you miss bird shit.
Wing points at a spot on the car Alfie's cleaning.
Wing. Sparking mad. Check out the way he talks to the little woman. She's given him her best years, cooked his chop suey, helped with the business, and I bet at one time he couldn't wait to rip off her kimono. And now look at him.
And I'm supposed to respect the institution of marriage.
Waving his crutch, Wing harangues his wife.
That's a great figure, man. Oh, we swing that low. Cash your IRA. I hook my Vespa. We're going to take Wing by surprise with an offer like this.
In the bar, Alfie's doing the figures, but Marlon is mooning over Lynette, serving the customers.
I could have predicted this. See, Marlon and Lynette have reached that critical 18-month where are we going, what are we doing, what's happening here, crisis point. It rears its ugly head in every relationship. Lynette wanted ring, home, baby. Marlon wanted another 18 months to make sure nothing better was coming his way.
I fucked up egregiously.
See you making the most of that birthday calendar.
By the time he realised he'd made a mistake and wanted her back, it was too late.
Hey, stranger.
A slim brunette stops at their table expectantly. Alfie looks blankly at her. Marlon watches the exchange.
Carol?
Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hiya. You look wonderful. So, Carol, well, it's nice to see you again. You be well.
Carol can't believe what Alfie's saying. She shakes her head and walks off.
What's up with that?
Put it this way, the show closed after one performance only.
Do I even want to know why?
No, come on, it would be less indiscreet to tell you why. Hair on the arms. Seriously, long, thick,
excuse me. What are you talking about? You don't have hair on your arms?
Lynette brings them a beer.
You're looking very lovely tonight.
Pours Alfie's and slams down Marlon's very deliberately. In front of him before walking off.
Dude, the iron door is slammed shut.
Classic, now that he can't have her, thinks he can't live without her. It's a bit of fun.
Marlon's predicament got me thinking about my own situation. Maybe it was time to stoke the home fires.
The safety chain's on in Julie's apartment.
Anybody in the mood for a little Alfie straight up?
This isn't a good time, Alfie. Got a lot on my mind.
Oh, God. Yeah, I really hate when that happens. Open up, baby. You look seriously beautiful.
Not tonight, Alfred.
What's the matter? Tell me.
I'm just... What? I guess I'm just... seeing red.
She throws the panties through the gap in the door at Alfie's face and slams it shut. Alfie drops the bottle of wine he's been carrying in the bin outside. The night sky darkens as it begins to rain. He returns to the Lucky Bar where Lynette is closing up.
I mean, the poor guy, he's dying. Come on, haven't you tortured him long enough?
Alfie, he should have thought about all that before he was screwing around with that ex-girlfriend of his. Those fake-ass $5 titties.
Those are fake?
Hello?
Wow, I'm devastated. They've got like...
Alfie, you're supposed to be controlling my devastation, remember?
Yeah, I am. Look, he came back, didn't he? Begging, crawling, on his knees, vomiting.
I don't care. I'm sorry, I'm not that easy. I don't forgive, and I definitely do not forget.
It's okay if I leave now, miss?
Oh, see, Felix. And hit the lights on your way out, por favor.
Si.
I better go.
It's really coming down out there.
Yeah. And I'm wearing suede.
The jukebox starts to play.
You're telling the truth. That's brilliant. Mm.
They drink shots.
Okay, I got one. I've never swam in the Pacific Ocean.
Me neither.
Oh, shit.
And play pool.
Okay. I've never seen a James Bond movie.
And smoke.
You're joking. Not even a Sean Connery. Are you serious?
Well, I don't know if that's magic or tragic. Okay, 5-4, my go. I've never made my own bed.
Oh, bullshit.
No, I repeat, I've never made my own bed.
Oh, what kind of mama you got?
That's a good question.
They keep downing the shots.
Let's see. All right. I got something for you.
All right.
I've never had sex. I've never had sex with two people in one night.
6-5, your favor.
Gotcha. So, Alfie, what's the most you've had in one night?
We stopped playing the game, haven't we? Am I wrong, or is there a little innocent flirting going on here?
Outside, the rain beats against the window pane. Inside, Lynette begins to dance suggestively to the music, flirting at him.
Drifting on a memory. Ain't no place I'd rather be than with you.
Alfie flirts back. He's now in his vest. Holding his cue stick, he leans against the pool table, watching her dance seductively.
If I had that kind of talent.
Go on, finish your sentence.
If I had that kind of talent and I looked like you, I would be strutting my stuff on a stage. Mm-hmm.
He takes hold of her around the waist and smooches with her. He turns her with some slow salsa moves and shares her cigarette.
Trust me, what happens next was the furthest thing from my mind when I dropped by tonight. But then I thought to myself, you know what? If this will help her get past her anger towards Marlon, I owe it to both of them as a friend, right? To do whatever I can to help.
They face each other, each taking a puff from the shared cigarette before slowly kissing.
I find that lately, even lying to myself comes easily.
Alfie teases her with his lips. She holds his neck with one hand to draw his head down to hers to kiss him back.
Flowing through my mind with these soft as can be. Well, when you're loving me. When you're loving me.
Alfie lifts her up and lays her gently down on the pool table, pushing the coloured snooker balls away with his cue stick. The balls roll away in all directions to make a space for their bodies, the cigarette smoke spiralling into the air above their heads.
Together, in and out of mystery. Well,
the next day, Alfie gets flashbacks of the previous night as he walks down the street. Marlon comes up behind him.
The next morning, and I can't get last night out of my mind.
So, Alfie,
try desperately to focus on something else. Anything else. Anything to get my mind off my best friend's incredibly hot, best ass I've ever seen in my life, girlfriend.
Alfie! 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 Shall I pretend I can't hear him? Dude! Hey!
Too late. Too late.
Dude, would you slow down?
Hey, Marley, what's up?
Marley? Hey, listen, I gotta talk to you.
You know what? You ain't going nowhere till you tell me what went down last night.
Down last night?
Dude, don't mess with me. What happened with Lynette?
Alfie marches into Wing's office.
Have you ever heard the word knock?
What went down?
What? Nothing. What happened? We had a few shots.
Mrs. Give Me Silent Treatment. Little she know not hearing constant blah, 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 blah. It's gift from heaven.
You keep it up. Keep it up, mate. There's a word.
What happened?
At last, Alfie looks at him.
Oh, fuck a duck, man. Look, I drank a lot last night.
Drunk?
I don't remember.
Dude, you did something to her.
No.
Yeah, you did, because she shows up at my house 4 a.m. saying that she wanted me back. She even said that if I needed more time, that she understood completely. I'm fucking crazy.
Marlon grins like a Cheshire cat.
I'll chalk one up for the blokes. Thanks to me, Marlon won the game, which means he's off scot-free, and so am I. This is a bloody miracle. That's fantastic. Fantastic. Come on, what did you say to her? Come on.
Look, look, look. It's all good.
Come on, what did you say?
I asked her to marry me.
Alfie's smile wavers as Marlon gives him a bear hug.
You know you're my best man, right?
Moral of the story? No good deed goes unpunished.
It's still daylight as Alfie parks his moped outside a cafe. A large purple neon sign above spells out the word desire. It's been raining. There are leaves in the gutter. A children's party is going on inside. Peering in through the window, Alfie sees Max celebrating his birthday with Julie and all Max's friends. It's a happy family scene. With a somber expression, Alfie watches the interaction between them. The smiles and laughter, the fun-looking birthday cake and party food, the brightly coloured balloons. He looks at the gift he's carrying. The head of a big old-fashioned teddy bear with a blue gingham bow peeps out from the carrier bag. Changing his mind, he doesn't go into the cafe and slowly walks back to his moped. Back in the flat.
New word for the day.
Resilience. The ability to readily recover after disappointment or loss.
He rips the word off the page.
Capacity to spring back.
Understand, it's not about replacing Julie. I just want to get back to the simple life. Women who mean nothing to me.
Ignoring the cue, he strolls right up to the front.
So I've struck up a friendship with a nightclub hostess called Uta. Hello.
Uta immediately lets him into a very hip nightclub. There's a shark in a fish tank, loads of gorgeous girls and plenty of alcohol.
Now, as a heat-seeking bachelor, I have to live by some very simple rules. Alfie Elkin's credo, or philosophy, which is probably best summed up by the only advice my father ever gave me. He said, son, whenever you meet a beautiful woman...
He passes a group of women.
Just remember, somewhere there's a bloke who's sick of shagging her.
Can I help you, man?
G&T, please.
Explain to me what everyone sees in that Euro trash.
Alfie turns to where the comment has come from and gives the woman a charming smile and looks her up and down. The sleek-haired brunette dissolves. Beautiful women are all around, dancing and enjoying themselves. Alfie now holds court at a table with two sultry blondes.
I think it's incredibly unfair that it's acceptable for men to be sexually experimental, and then with a woman, if she wants to try something, either a kiss or a threesome, you know, that they'd be judged. I wouldn't judge. I mean, I think if you two were to kiss, I would just see it as a
thing of beauty.
Knowingly, the blondes kiss.
Although I'm living every guy's Rat Pack fantasy, something feels a bit off. And throwing myself back into the old lifestyle isn't going quite as smoothly as I'd hoped.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You carry on without me.
It's a threesome.
Oh, my loves. I don't know what happened. This is so unlike me. Yeah, you two just...
The girls continue with each other. Now looking out of the doctor's window, he sees a funeral taking place in the cemetery below.
I used to think there was nothing worse than death. Then, from out of nowhere...
Alfie has flashbacks.
The unthinkable.
Now I really don't get what everyone sees in you.
Alfie sits on the side of the bed with his head in his hands.
It just keeps on happening and happening. Or more accurately, not happening and
not happening.
This never happens, Uta. Honestly, never.
Her face not moving, Uta glares at him.
Honestly.
Not to wait around town. You wait.
She sits opposite him in the bath, blowing smoke rings at him.
Mr. Elkins.
Yes.
Miranda Kulp.
A man in a white coat walks in.
Miranda. The penis doctor's a he with a little bit of she thrown in.
So I understand you're experiencing some erectile dysfunction?
I am experiencing a little bit of what you just said.
Not to worry. That's my area of expertise. So, have you been under any unusual emotional stress lately, Mr. Elkins?
Stress? Emotional? Me? No. Never. Well, unless you count that recent chat I had with Julie.
I can't see you anymore, Alfie.
What, are you angry?
No, I'm really not angry. Just, you know, we want different things. And I can't have you traipsing in and out of Max's life.
Julie continues walking down the stairs, passing Alfie.
You've changed your hair, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have. You changed your hair. Have you cut it? It looks gorgeous.
Thanks.
How come you never had it like that when we were together?
I really gotta go.
Well, I guess give you these back.
Alfie hands back his keys.
Thank you.
And touching her hand, he walks off in the opposite direction.
Alfie. You gonna be okay?
Yeah. No worries, I'm always okay.
All righty. Let's take a gander at that penis of yours.
Apprehensively, Alfie lifts up the bottom of his paper gown whilst a rubber-gloved Miranda kneels to inspect him.
I see.
Alfie leaps back.
Hello.
Well, it seems we have liftoff.
Seems we do.
Wunderschön.
What a relief. Well, I mean, if he can give me a stiffy, I should have no problem keeping it up for the target demographic, shouldn't I?
Well, there doesn't appear to be anything physiologically wrong.
No.
So, in short, we can be fairly certain your problem was simply stress-related.
Translation, Julie. Related, like I always say, if they don't get you one way, they'll get you another.
However, I did feel something a little kooky.
Kooky?
There's nothing to get upset about, Mr. Elkins.
I thought I felt a lump.
Alfie looks horrified.
On your penis. But with any luck, it will be nothing.
The word lump and penis in the same sentence. That's something you don't hear every day.
And so young Alfred got an early Yuletide gift.
A penis biopsy. I get my test results in 3 days. Well, five. Five, counting the weekend. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. How am I going to stop myself going completely bonkers? I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'm a young man. Shift focus, Alfie. Shift.
Holding his genitals, Alfie hobbles home in the snow. A group of schoolchildren with their teacher walk past. Standing still, he catches the pretty woman's eye.
Move along, children. Look straight ahead. Come on, do not look at the man. Look straight ahead.
In the meantime, perhaps I'm safer hobbling on home.
Carrying some dry cleaning and a bag of groceries, he painfully reaches home. Opening the door, he meets Mrs. Schnittman and her friend in the hallway.
Alfie, dear, what's wrong? You look like death warmed over.
No, I've got a bit of football into me, that's all. Mrs. Schnittman, hello, Mrs. Lieberman.
Hello.
You two look lovely. Where are you going?
Shopping. You need anything?
I'm fine.
Lynette is waiting for him.
Hello.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Ladies, this is my friend Lynette.
She's lovely. Good for you, dating an African-American.
Yeah.
Lou gives him the thumbs up.
Hey, girl. I missed you.
Don't mind us. We're not here. You kids keep talking.
Very nice to meet you.
See you, Mrs. Lieberman.
Shop till you drop, girls. So, how have you been?
I'm pregnant.
It seems to me the problems you worry yourself sick about never seem to materialise. It's the ones that catch you unexpectedly, on a Wednesday afternoon, that knock you sideways. I offered to face the music with her, but she wanted to go it alone.
In the pouring rain, Lynette takes the umbrella Alfie is holding over both of them and walks across the street to the clinic. Alfie watches her go inside, and with shoulders hunched up against the wet, he waits for her.
It's near the break of day. You're running low on options.
We both knew that if the baby was born with any white boy features, it would mean the end of Lynette and Marlon.
Not to mention your host for this evening.
But standing in the cold, I find myself having regrets, thinking thoughts like, here's another kid you'll never get a chance to know. Your own.
As soon as he sees her emerging, he quickly runs to her. She looks strained.
Didn't take long.
She looks at him with difficulty, turns and walks away. He tries to comfort her.
Bloody hell, you're freezing. How do you feel?
Empty.
Walking up to the car, Alfie opens the passenger door for her to get in.
That night in the bar, I thought I was getting something for nothing. Doesn't seem to have worked out that way, does it?
Anxiously waiting at the doctor's, Alfie watches another funeral taking place from the cemetery below.
Good morning, Dr. Kalt's office.
Oh, man. If everything turns out okay, maybe this little brush with mortality is a sign. I should think about making some changes.
Possibly. Next week.
Excuse me, did you just look at me? Did I just notice you turn away? Look, if you know the results of my tests and they're telling
Mr.
you not to
Elkins,
say anything.
Please, Mr. Elkins, yes. For the millionth time. Sit down. Mr. Belson?
I have a cancellation on Tuesday at 11:30.
I'm gonna be fine.
Would you like me to slot you in there?
I just feel it.
Goodbye.
Alfie goes into the washroom. A white-haired man is already in there.
I'll just be a minute. Or 10.
It's all right, you take your time.
I don't have a choice. I used to pee, now I trickle. I'm Joe, what's your name?
Alfie.
So how you doing, Alfie?
Hanging in. You?
Shitty.
Yeah, me too. I like the bolo tie.
Oh, thanks. I have a collection. And when you're old, you learn to be patient. Yeah. Used to be I never had time for nothing. Go, go, go.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. My wife was always hocking me to take a little vacation. Hawaii, Reno. I always said, next year, Evie, next year. I got too much on my platter. I always thought I'd have more time. Then one Sunday night, she takes the pot roast out of the oven, yells soup's on, and slumps to the kitchen floor. Just like that. Dead as disco.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I tried picking up the pieces. Even went to Waikiki alone on the 8-day cruise package she was always yakking about. Couldn't get Evie out of my mind. Yeah. Two things I learned in life, kid. You find someone to love and live every day as though it were your last. She's all yours, Alfie. Enjoy.
Joe moves away from the urinal and washes his hands. Alfie doesn't move.
You all right, son?
Yeah. I hope so.
Look, if you ever get bored or feel like schmoozing, give me a holler. Ah, you'll never call.
Maybe I will.
All right, good. We'll go to a bar together, hit on some chicks.
Damn right. Thanks, Joe.
Alfie takes his card.
I'm sorry about Evie.
We weren't all that fond of each other, but we were very close, if you know what I mean.
I think I do.
Pointing his finger and smiling at him, Joe leaves. Alfie's reflection in the mirror is serious. Buttoning up his jacket against the cold night air, Alfie walks out into the street.
I've been thinking a lot lately about God and death. And how, if what they taught me in Bible class is true, I'm really in for it. But I won't be partying with Lucifer anytime soon, because my test results were negative. I'm gonna live!
Just like Gene Kelly, Alfie jubilantly splashes and kicks in the puddles in the gutter.
I ruined my pot of lace-ups and I don't care. Don't think I've forgotten my oath to completely change my life, because I haven't.
With renewed confidence, he marches off down the middle of the road, which glistens from the recent rain. Snow covers Central Park. The skyscrapers glisten in the sharp wintry morning sun. Looking very smart and professional, Alfie drives through the slush, drinking orange liquid from a straw. In his rearview mirror, he glances at his passengers, a sophisticated-looking couple, and makes eye contact with the very attractive woman talking on her mobile phone.
Carrot apple with a dash of wheatgrass? Yep. Health is now priority number one. Business plan moves on to the fast track.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. If we must, by the way.
New slate. New beginning.
He draws up outside the shop Chanel. He gets out and opens the passenger door. Standing to one side, he allows the woman wearing fur coat and dark glasses to sweep past him.
What's your name, driver?
Alfie, sir.
Wait here, Alfie.
Do you know how long you're going to be, roughly?
Well, you got some place to go?
No, I was just going to nip off and get a cup of tea.
Look, why don't you just stay put?
Alfie gives the man's back the finger. The woman sees. Alfie looks sheepish. Sucking a lollipop to pass the time, Alfie taps the roof of the limo and checks his watch. Bored of waiting, he chucks the lollipop away and goes inside the shop. In a black halter-neck cocktail dress, the woman poses in front of the mirror. The man sits reading the Wall Street Journal.
Yay or nay?
Definite yay, I think. Really. Stunning. Wouldn't you say so, sir?
I'm sorry. Didn't I ask you to wait by the car?
I reckoned I should help the lady with her packages.
Definite yay?
I think. With one minor... May I?
You may.
Adjustment.
Alfie pulls her tasseled chain to one side so her décolletage is bare and notices her tattooed bosom. It says, Pablo.
Bullfighter. Another lifetime.
Fifty if she's a day. But don't they say 50 is the new 40? And is she not living proof? I mean, have a look. Beautifully preserved. And a cleavage like the Holland Tunnel. Better?
Much.
You are so right to trust Chanel. A pair of hot pink stilettos and you're good to go.
Well, aren't you, Mr. Full Service?
We try.
They flirt.
He's getting a little pissy, isn't he?
It's good for him.
Is your husband a lot older than you?
He's not my husband. He's
He's wearing a wedding ring.
Well, I never said he wasn't somebody else's husband.
Alfie parks the limo outside the Waldorf Astoria and gets out of the car. The hotel is heavily decorated for Christmas.
Grab stuff in the trunk.
You got it.
Cheers.
Buttoning up his jacket, he proffers his card to the woman as she is leaving. She takes it.
Ma'am, if you require my services in the future... Happy Christmas, sir. Ma'am.
The woman turns and looks at him.
Now that, my friends, is a real woman. Smart and sexy and...
You notice the little flirt going on between us? Huh?
He slams the boot of the limo.
Makes me think, if a woman like that, of that calibre, should take notice of a bloke like me, then perhaps... Perhaps I'm setting myself a bit short.
In a flash, I have my New Year's resolution. Aim higher.
Grinning to himself, Alfie drives the limo back to the garage.
Put my word of the day calendar for Christmas. Big mistake.
Holiday season, busiest time of the year. I try to run a business.
What's the problem, Mr. Wing?
Your soul brother. He quit.
He hands Alfie a small packet. It's a photograph of a smiling Alfie, Lynette and Marlon.
In the letter Marlon left for me, he called me his best friend. But apologised for bailing on our business scheme. He said his whole thing now was to make Lynette happy. We decided, on the spur of the moment, to move upstate. And I had a standing invite to drop by any time. Somehow Lynette convinced Marlon it would be too painful to say our goodbyes in person. And to make matters worse, it all dovetails into the second loneliest night of the year.
Alfie looks sad.
Christmas Eve.
The skyscrapers look pretty.
A night that brings on all those familiar festive feelings of hopelessness, anguish, despair. Not a great time to be flying solo. That's why I'm of the belief couples should never split up between Thanksgiving and January 2nd. Always have a relationship to see you through the holidays, always. The downside, of course, being gifts.
Alfie drives through the snowy, lit-up streets.
Personally, I've always suspected that everyone else is having a far merrier Christmas than I am. Not that I've ever actually had a Christmas. That's a whole other Dickens story. Excuse me. I'm sorry, mate. It's against the law for me to carry any more than...
Pulling over to a group of Christmas revelers, he is smitten when he sees a tall, willowy blonde with smoky eyes standing among them.
Thank the Lord. A Christmas miracle.
He's momentarily lost for words when she smiles at him.
All right, hop in.
Thanks for saying this. I was freezing my little tush off.
No worries. You know, it's going to be... It's pretty full back there. Why don't you...
Good idea. Why don't I?
Wait, what's the champagne? All in.
She slides in next to him, showing off her cultish thighs.
They don't get out much.
You want to watch out, you guys. You end up with a lump of coal in your stocking.
You're English. Yeah. I love English. What's your name?
Alfie.
He glances at her pointedly as she lights a joint and inhales deeply.
You want to abuse a little substance, Alfie?
No, thanks. I'm trying to quit. All right. One hit.
He takes one long drag and they grin at each other. They end up at a party in a huge warehouse somewhere downtown.
There's an expression the Yanks use. Go with the flow. So, yeah, I got a dose of the holiday blues, but
when a girl of this mind-blowing caliber invites you to a party, it's time to get going and start flowing.
He fetches them both a cup of eggnog.
Maybe it's the late hour.
And feeds her a sip.
Maybe it's the heavily spiked eggnog.
She stops him talking with a kiss.
Maybe it was simply a mutual desperate desire to have ourselves a merry little Christmas. Whatever the reason, hooking up has never gone more swimmingly. And I find myself saying something highly out of character.
I'm renovating my apartment on the Upper West Side. But say you could crash at my sublet if you want. See you through the holidays.
That sounds inviting.
They end up kissing in the back of the limo. It's parked next to a very pretty Christmas tree covered with coloured fairy lights.
And so it came to pass that after all those years, little Alfred finally got what he wanted for Christmas.
The festive season rolls along and they turn up at a lively New Year's Eve party. The champagne flows. Smoking a big cigar, Alfie twirls her round on the dance floor.
12 days of Christmas were flying by at a surrealistic pace.
Yeah, it's been quite the ride.
They go for rides on his Vespa. In a cafe, they muck about with a strawberry sundae.
The package was irresistible. A showstopper with a new school brand of sexiness. Who wouldn't get off on the way she makes heads turn? Plus, we have so much in common.
They both read Vogue magazine, his and hers.
She's sweet, fun, original, exciting, full of surprises. Oh, and did I mention, she makes a cracking good bed.
In corset and stocking, she bounces on the mattress.
I began to wonder, could this be the one?
Back at the party, he ignores another blonde.
He finally holds my attention.
On the stroke of midnight, he kisses her. They toast each other and she does so with such force, she smashes her glass of champagne. He looks at her with absolute horror.
In every doomed relationship, there comes what I like to call the... uh-oh moment.
When a certain little something happens and you know you've just witnessed the beginning of the end, and suddenly you stop and you think, uh-oh, iceberg ahead.
With Nikki, that was the first of many uh-oh moments. It began with petty arguments, followed by random bouts of melancholia, major highs and manic lows. This girl never knows when she's had one too many. And there have been constant displays of erratic, reckless behaviour. And thank you, no. No, I did not have insurance.
She crushes his Vespa.
But whenever I begin to feel there's little reason to go on, I'm reminded that we still have one very major thing in common. If only she didn't insist on smoking before, after, and during.
Her cigarette sets light to the bedclothes.
What time are you gonna be home, honey?
Hear that? Time you're gonna be home, honey? It's dangerously close to her wife speak to me.
Because I'm making something really special for Din Din.
She's painting the walls electric blue.
I'll call later. Listen, are you sure you don't think that colour's a little bit intense?
In his Prada shirt.
I think you're a little bit intense.
Kev, because you've got paint all over your hands. I mean, plus, you're wearing my favourite shirt to paint the house in, Nick. Don't...
Sorry, baby.
She strips off the paint-marked shirt.
I've got a rush.
I bet I can make it worth your while to stay.
No, I'm sure you can, but you know what? I've got that meeting, haven't I?
Cigarette in hand, naked except for a polka dot thong and flat boots, Nikki saunters over to the fridge and opens the door.
You know you're in trouble when a sight like that can't keep you planted. When I was a boy at St Albans Secondary School, the school took us on this cultural trip to observe art at one of those big famous London museums. Anyway, when I was there, I came across this statue of a Greek goddess in marble. Aphrodite, something like that. Beautiful she was. Perfect female form, chiseled features, exquisite. I stood in awe of her. Finally, the teacher calls us all over and I'm walking past it. And on the way, I notice in the side of this Greek goddess, all these cracks, chips, imperfections. Ruined her for me.
Cigarette between her teeth, Nikki chops a courgette.
Well, that's Nikki. A beautiful sculpture. Damaged. In a way you don't notice till you get too close.
She looks up, salutes Alfie with the chopping knife and smiles, still with cigarette between her lips.
I lost the signal for a second there.
It's dusk as Alfie whizzes down the road.
Well, I don't know. It's just a lot of personal stuff going on. Do you know what I mean?
He parks outside an exclusive apartment block.
Oh, I know.
Welcome, Mr. Elvis.
Good to see you, Elvis. Look, I hope you don't mind me rabbiting on like this, do you?
Enjoy your evening, sir.
Thank you. As you can see, the lad's moving up in the world.
He takes the lift whilst talking on his mobile.
It's just that I've got this friend who's, let's say, outstayed his welcome. Absolutely right. It's a lot tougher getting them out than getting them in. I like that. You'll never guess who I'm dropping in on now. I wouldn't have believed it myself a couple of weeks ago.
Why don't you just try being honest and tell your friend that the hotel is under new management and that they have to vacate the premises, you know what I mean?
That kimono does wonders for your décolletage.
Big word.
Big décolletage.
Facing each other, they put down their mobiles and kiss hungrily.
Why don't we have a drink and you can tell me the rest of your troubles?
Instead of me listening to hers, that's a change. You know, for someone so very young, you're terribly wise. Secret admirer?
One of many.
He sees a bouquet.
You would never think of bringing a girl flowers, would you, Alfie?
It would only encourage them.
I'm going to make us that drink. What's your poison, sweetheart?
I'll have a spot of whiskey, please. Middleton Rare. If you've got it. I like dropping a fancy brand name in now and again. Let her know she ain't the only one been around.
Why not make this an absinthe afternoon?
Brilliant.
She puts the bottle on the table.
No idea what she's talking about.
You had absinthe?
Not recently, no. Remind me, what is it again?
The Green Fairy, the French Impressionist liquid drug of choice. Oh, and I got you some of those little egg thingies you like so much.
She feeds him a canapé from a silver tray and kisses him. He takes the tray from her.
I mentioned I like something once. Next thing I know, I get it on a silver platter.
She pours hot water onto the translucent green liquid through a lacy spoon, holding a sugar lump, dabbing a drop of it either side of her neck. Alfie collapses on the sofa.
Perfect. Kind of pad I plan to own myself one day. Understated elegance, just a touch of the trendy. She's a regular fashionista. You don't have to tell this one which slingbacks go with which frock. Owns her own cosmetics company. Empire, actually. Started out doing facials in a fancy salon. Took a handful of mud, mixed it with a dash of papaya, put it on the market, and bingo. All this.
This stuff is so illegal. I smuggled a whole batch of it back from Prague in Listerine bottles.
She lights the alcohol, and opposite each other, they watch the sugar lump melt on the spoons.
Oh, I checked out your business plan.
She hands it back to him.
I'm impressed.
You seem surprised.
Not at all. It was underneath all that bravado. beats the heart of the guy who's a lot smarter than he thinks he is, but not nearly as cocky as he'd like everybody else to believe.
She blows out the flame and adds some more water to the green liquid.
What exactly are we basing this on?
This insight into my personality.
The absinthe becomes opaque.
But it takes one to know one.
Sitting down and facing him squarely, she looks him in the eyes. He grins and gently tucks her hair behind her ear. They intertwine fingers.
I was just wondering if there's a clever little tattoo artist out there who could change Pablo into Alfie.
He slowly trails a finger over the tattoo on her breast and tenderly kisses her.
Here's to clever little tattoo artist.
They salute each other and drink. He slowly caresses her shoulder inside the kimono and nibbles her ear. Suddenly the drink kicks in.
Jesus.
Alfie leans back, clutching his throat.
Oh, you're meant to feel all warm going down.
That's my job.
Smiling, they caress and touch. A kiss on the lips, the shoulders, sucking fingers, touching with tongues.
You know what they say?
What do they say?
Absinthe makes the heart go fonder.
They break apart. Alfie rises unsteadily to his feet and goes into the luxurious bedroom ensuite.
Check this out.
Have a look at the size of this tub. She's had two husbands, both croaked, and I'm a feeling this was the scene of the crime.
Come on, baby, let's get wet.
She brings him another glass of absinthe, which they both knock back. Slowly, she removes her kimono and bra.
She keeps this up. You're going to be updating that tattoo of hers a lot sooner than she thinks.
Lighting up a cigarette, Alfie stands in the pouring rain, looking up at his apartment.
Remember how little Alfred finally got what he wanted for Christmas?
Be careful what you wish for.
Candlelit dinner for two is laid. Nikki is asleep on the sofa. A romantic black and white film is on, which Alfie switches off using the remote control.
Let's play something else.
Alfie looks down at Nikki, who stirs and opens her eyes.
Hey. Dozed off.
Yeah. I tried waiting up for you. Your meeting ran late, huh?
Yeah. Knackered. Wet. But I do want us to have a little chat, Nikki.
Okay. Sure. Why don't we talk over a midnight snack? I made roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. That was your favorite as a young lad, right? And check the place out, if you please. Your little girl worked her fanny off.
I noticed. It looks brilliant. Really smashing. So, Nick...
Alfie, I've been thinking. Will you look at these cute little potatoes? Okay. I know I have been a real handful lately. I don't know, I think it has to do a lot with me feeling displaced. And not totally trusting. Sweetie, cutting to the chase. I am gonna do better. I promise. I am gonna take my medication religiously from now on, and everything, everything is gonna be easy and breezy. Sound good, honey? So come, come and sit. A feast awaits.
I already ate, Nick.
course. No worries. We'll have leftovers. I can whip up a little corned beef hash for brunch.
Alfie can't look at her. He turns away and bows his head.
What's the matter, Alfie?
Nothing. I just... I got a lot on my mind and, I'm feeling a bit...
What? Cold, distant, remote, what?
Look, Nick, this is a complete drag. Everything happens so quickly. I'm not the best at this sort of thing.
What sort of thing?
I don't know exactly how to say it.
Sure you do, Alfie. You've had plenty of experience dumping girls.
Alfie's eyes remain downcast as Nikki retrieves her suitcase and plonks it down on the bed. She begins to pack. Alfie stands with his back to her, arms crossed, pulling on a cigarette, waiting. In torrential rain, without a coat, Nikki is quickly drenched. Alfie watches her from his window above. She tries to hail a cab. Finally, one stops. In some discomfort, Alfie closes his eyes and bites his top lip. Nikki grapples with her luggage and clambers into the waiting cab. In the flat, the ashtray is overflowing. The rose has died in its vase. His soup bubbles on the stove. Alfie sits looking slightly the worse for wear.
Strange. But even when you know it has to end, when it finally does, you always get that inevitable twinge. Have I done the right thing?
He glues the sole on his shoe.
I must admit, I do miss the companionship. Nikki was a showstopper. But, as me ugly old Aunt Gladys used to say, looks aren't everything. I used to think that was a load of bollocks, but it's lately I've been thinking. Maybe the old bat had something.
Pensively, he drinks a mug of soup. It's a wet and early morning as he sets off on his moped and parks outside his cafe. He's well wrapped up with hooded cardigan and jacket. He notices Julie sitting inside, having breakfast and reading the paper. Undoing his scarf, he goes inside and walks up to the bar.
Julie?
Alfie, hi.
What a surprise. God, I haven't seen you since,
Yeah.
You look amazing.
Thanks, you too. You look good too.
Yeah. I'm getting over a cold.
Oh. But you're okay otherwise?
I'm fine. I'm always fine.
Yeah. Hmm. It's good to see you.
And you. Hey, you know, I'm sorry about what happened between us. And I'm sorry how it all ended up. It wasn't good. I felt bad about not seeing Max. And about not seeing you.
It's wider under the bridge.
You know,
I'm wondering... Maybe we, you know, I can never promise anything. But if you want, if you like, maybe we could see each other again. It would be okay by me. It would be more than okay. It would be great.
Alfie, I...
Yeah.
This is Adam.
A personable-looking young man sits down next to Julie.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Pretty good.
Adam?
Yeah.
They shake hands.
It was great running into you. You look fantastic.
Thanks.
Time is it? I gotta go. I'm late for a meeting. Nice to meet you, Adam.
Feeling slightly foolish, Alfie smiles and heads for the door. With his back to us, he stops and sighs, and then turns back to Julie and Adam.
Julie? How's Max?
Oh, really good.
Will you say hi?
Sure.
Or not? Be well.
Outside, he stands by his moped, watching Adam and Julie through the window. Heads close together, talking. The intimate little kiss and caress. Alfie looks a bit lost. Winding his scarf securely around his neck, he gets on the moped and, after one last glance, drives off.
It's just a little meditation.
The garage, no one is around.
Hello? Hello?
He pauses at the office door, listening. He pushes it open to find Wing sitting in his dressing gown.
Mrs. Wing, is everything... Wing? Why are you crying?
I'm not crying. Get out.
You sure?
I'm fine. Get out, Alfie.
I'm sorry, I wanted to see if I could borrow a car.
She'd leave me.
Sorry?
Blossom, leave me.
Blossom? Is that your wife's name, Blossom?
What'd I do wrong, Alfie? Love her?
Hey, look, mate. Come on, you can win her back. Woo her, send flowers and chocolates, write a poem.
That's what you do?
Well, actually, no, I've never done that, but it may be a way to go.
What rhyme with blossom?
I would try awesome.
Suffused with hope, Wing furiously begins to write and throws Alfie a set of keys. Alfie drives across the bridge and heads upstate. The landscape becomes provincial. He passes a local Paramount cinema showing a film classic, Murder in the Museum. He drives along country roads with leafy boughs dappled with sunlight before turning into a dirt track which opens up to reveal a low-slung house with wooden porch and veranda. Alfie parks the car and gets out, stretching his neck as he does so. A shaggy dog lies on the veranda.
You never cease to amaze.
Hey. Great to see you too, Lon. I guess I should have rung. Hey, Sam.
Well, that would have been a plan.
Alfie greets the dog.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. It was just... It's nice.
Uncomfortably, they stand there looking at each other. Lynette is agitated and wrings her hands. She turns her head back to the house.
Look, Lonette, this is so uncomfortable, I know.
because
you don't have to whisper. Marlon's not here.
I really miss you both. And I just wondered, maybe me and you could put it all behind us, pretend like it never happened, and then move forward, you know? I just...
You know, Alfie, dropping by wasn't a good idea.
What? You two didn't have a baby. You did have a baby.
No, you were right the first time.
Alfie follows Lynette down the hall into the sunlit nursery. Lynette stands back as Alfie looks down into the smiling face of the baby lying in the cot.
Thinking back to that day at the clinic, I remember trying to look in Lon's eyes to see if I could even begin to understand what she was going through and how she wouldn't look at me. And I think I knew then. I just didn't want to admit it to myself. So classically, I said nothing.
I knew there was a good chance the baby could be Marlon's. At least I hoped.
This is a lot. For me too.
Stunned, Alfie leans over the cot and allows the baby to grip his finger. Lynette watches his reaction, smiling with the baby smiles at him. Alfie turns back to the baby, who gives him a toothless grin. Alfie gives a pained laugh. Abruptly, he walks out. Marlon is driving in as Alfie is getting into his limo. Alfie changes his mind and turns to face him. Wordlessly, Marlon gets out of his van and stands there looking at him, holding a bag of groceries. Looking anguished but not speaking, Marlon nods his head at Alfie.
You know, I never
mean to hurt anybody.
What you do, Alfie?
Marlon's eyes fill up. He walks away. Alfie stands there soberly, the words sinking in.
You are the shining sun, everybody in your shade. So funny to you, dripping honey from your tongue, but you never know.
Looking bleak, Alfie drives back through the leafy forest. It's a beautiful day. The sky is a perfect blue, and the sun shines brilliantly, speckling through the trees and on the road. Alfie becomes more and more morose. He slams on the brakes. As the car comes to a sudden halt, he breaks down, repeatedly thumping the inside of the windscreen with his fist, angrily hitting out. He cracks the glass and, holding his head in one hand, leans on the steering wheel and sobs. his shoulders heaving with emotion. He seeks out Joe, and they walk along an empty stretch of beach, the waves gently rolling up the sand, the sky white with clouds.
I felt I needed a friend to talk to. Problem was, they were suddenly in short supply.
And I don't remember. I don't remember being in the car. I was stopped. And I'm crying.
Crying for the little one?
I don't know exactly. Maybe for him. Mostly, I think, for me. And Marlon. I never had anybody look at me quite like that before. And believe me, I've had some looks that could kill. He stood by Lynette. I could have never, ever...
You don't know what you'll do till you really love someone. But now what? You gonna shoehorn yourself into the situation?
No.
You did the only thing you could do. You behaved like a gentleman.
I've never been accused of that before.
Don't get all choked up. You also behave like a scheming, backstabbing, so low you can look up a snake's asshole son of a bitch. Next time, think before unzipping. It's all right. You screwed up. So what are you going to do, huh? Run to the bridge? The question is, what's going to happen with the rest of your life?
Alfie listens, nodding imperceptibly. Padding along in bare feet, Joe holds his shoes, his trousers rolled up to his knees.
I'd be lying if I didn't admit the events of the past few weeks have knocked me for a bit of a loop.
On his Vespa, Alfie signals a right turn with his hand, upsetting the traffic behind him.
All right.
He walks into an exclusive florist shop. There is a colourful display of flower heads floating in water and a row of single flower pots along one wall.
Hello, mate.
And what can we do for you this evening?
How much are one of those?
£5.50. And you'll need to put them in water immediately.
Right, I'll have that.
Alfie takes a ready-made bouquet of yellow tulips, then changes his mind.
Second thought. Actually, this is sort of a special thing.
And what's the occasion?
Well, say again?
Proposal?
No. Well, I do want to extend an offer to maybe have a go at it for a bit. Give us a spin, that kind of thing.
I get it. Commitment issues. Tell me what she or he is like, and we'll find the appropriate bloom.
Well, she is... You know what? She's adventurous.
Ah, frivole.
And very sexy.
I'm thinking dolce vita.
A little mischievous. No, cheeky.
Avalanche. With a touch of me, I'm all there.
And then, under it all, she's just kind of sweet.
The florist smiles understandingly. With Alfie's cooperation, he makes up the pretty bouquet of different kinds of roses. Pleased with the effect, Alfie sets off again. He jauntily skips up the stairs and lets himself into Liz's apartment.
Liz?
Hello?
It's me, my love.
Hey. Hey. I didn't expect this tonight. I thought you were working.
I had a cancellation.
Oh.
So I took the night off. Listen, I thought we should get up early, get out of the city, go to the country and see if we can stay in that B&B you're always on about.
Oh, honey, I'd love to, but I can't. I have an investor's breakfast in the morning. How about on the weekend or...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Better. All right. I thought you may...
Oh, my God.
He gives her the flowers.
No, Alfie.
Mm.
Oh, what a sweet gesture.
My lady. Mm. They're not out of some plastic bucket.
Right? No.
I handpicked, like, every bud.
I can see that.
And apparently have a bit of a flair for flower arranging.
I'm impressed. Really, wow, talk about being blown away.
Good, mission accomplished. I like surprising you.
You certainly have done that.
All right, then. Well, you're up early, so I'm off.
Okay, well, I'm going to see you tomorrow night, all right?
Yeah. When we speak, there's some things... or something I really want to talk to you about.
What, honey?
I'm going to wait for the exact perfect moment, and that's all I'll say. I'll ring you in the morning.
Oh, and Alfie, thank you for the flowers. Really, they made my evening.
Really? In that case, maybe I'll stay.
She puts her hand on his chest to restrain him.
I don't... That's not a good idea.
There's a guy in there, isn't there?
Oh. Alfie stands frozen to the spot as he looks through the bathroom door. Liz gently moves him out of the way and closes it.
Don't do this.
Screwing up his face, he looks painfully at her.
What's he got? Better than me.
Alfie, please.
Tell me. Please. Really, I would like to know, what's he got? Tell me. I want to know what he's got. Please tell me. Come on. Come on. Come on, just tell me. Just tell me, come on. What's he got better than me?
He's younger than you.
Eyes wet with tears, she bows her head as Alfie walks out of the door, taking the flowers with him. Alfie stands overlooking the river. The flowers plop into the water, one by one.
He's younger than you. I've got to admit, I didn't see it coming. She caught me off guard, all right.
You couldn't tell, though. Could you?
The night river bus motors past.
As you've learned by now, I'm rather skilled at hiding my feelings. You see, the thing with feelings is they have this quiet way of sneaking up on you when you least expect it. You know what I mean? Like with Liz. Who'd have thought, of all the women I've known, the one I let my guard down with delivers the knockout punch? Ironic. Calendar word.
A slim, leggy blonde walks towards Alfie along the pier.
Dory! Hi.
Hello, Alfie.
Haven't seen you in ages.
Maybe because you stopped calling.
I know. Think things were getting a bit too...
Don't bother explaining. I'm way past needing excuses.
All right. No, you know what? I want to explain.
What? You had your fill of me? Someone cuter came along? I don't need to hear it, Alfie.
Look, Dory.
Really?
Look, Dory... What happens with me is, I don't know, I get... When it gets too... not close, but something like that, I start to feel... not stifled. Not trapped, but something like that. And you know what I mean? Did that make any sense?
I think it has to make sense to you more than me at this point.
Yeah, fair enough.
I need to go. He'll be waiting for me.
Dory? I'm sorry.
Dory looks at him almost sympathetically and nods before looking towards the landing dock.
Good luck, Alfie.
She walks off, stops, turns back, and gives him a little wave goodbye. Alfie watches her retreating back.
I warned them all from the beginning. I always said something along the lines of, I must advise you. I am stamped with an invisible warning. Will not commit. Will never marry. Despite my best efforts, I'm beginning to feel some small cracks in my faux finish.
He remembers Nikki bringing him breakfast in bed.
You know, when I look back on my little life and all the women I've known,
varnishing Liz's nails,
I can't help but think about
playing pool with Lynette in the bar.
All that they've done for me, and how little I've done for them. How they looked after me, cared for me, and I repaid them by never returning the favour.
Julian Max giving him a birthday cake.
Yeah. I used to think I had the best end of the deal. What have I got? Really? Some money in my pocket. Some nice threads. Fancy car at my disposal. And I'm single. Yeah. Unattached. Free as a bird. I don't depend on nobody. Nobody depends on me. My life's my own.
He ponders over his words.
But I don't have peace of mind. And if you don't have that, you've got nothing. So what's the answer? That's what I keep asking myself. What's it all about? You know what I mean?
A faint smile plays around his eyes and lips. He sobers up, and with his scarf snug around his neck, hands in his pockets, Alfie walks off alongside the river and into the night. The bridge overhead reflecting its lights into the blackness of the water below. The end.